stresses and strains that we all deal with in our life, with the pace of life around us, with the squeeze that comes on in this geographical area, not to mention the oppression of the principalities and the powers that are at enmity with the Church of Jesus Christ, at enmity with any gathering or community of the saints in the cities of men. We sang a couple of songs this morning, that one and that following one, "We Will Bow to the King." And I just want to encourage you as we come to Barak's talk this morning, there's a big context to what we're talking about. We can all give testimony to endless pressures and distractions, but I just want to remind you this morning that this is all about a courtship. When we sing, "I will prepare you my heart," it's about a bride preparing for the groom. What would we think of a bride who avoided her spouse-to-be, avoided the fiancé, so captivated by the wretched arrangements of a one-day wedding that they lost sight of what it was all about? To live together forever. And the word of the Lord to us in these days is to mind that which lasts for a lifetime, not that which is a vapor for the moment. And I just want to encourage you this morning, just an encouraging pastoral word, that it's all about a nuptial. We often say in this church that grace is a romance. It's still a romance. And let's ask the Lord to keep that romance alive in our hearts. There's so much that hardens the love affair with Christ. There's so much that cuts into our preparation for that which is to come. And when we hear the word of the Lord, that sometimes has to be fatherly firm with us and disciplining and reminding us of our responsibility and our stewardship and that we'll be held to account. Don't forget that the context for our bowing is a wedding feast. It's all about a nuptial. And Lord, I pray this morning as we pursue our walk with you and lives with you and as we seek to serve you and love you and glorify you in our family community life, that your Spirit, precious Jesus, lavished upon us by you and the Father, continue to draw us to yourself. Deepen this love affair with you, Lord Jesus. Give us a longing for the wedding feast that is to come, and a dissatisfaction, Lord, with simply going through the motions of wedding arrangements and missing the spouse. We declare you as the bride of Christ to be our spouse above all spouses, who we love and we honor and we cherish and we hunger for. Unto you, precious spouse, will we prepare our hearts. We ask you, Lord, now just to help us to concentrate and to hear what it is you're saying and you want for us. We're not interested, Lord, in doing things to be seen of men. We want to be in your presence, Lord. We want to be in your eyes. We want to be before your face. Help us to relate, Lord, who you've called us to be, to what you've called us to do. We're not always very good at it, Lord. Help us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just take a moment, maybe introduce yourself to the person next to you. If they're a visitor, will you welcome them this morning and tell them you're glad they're here? Can we have the lights at the back, please? Thanks. P, People prefer darkness to light, right? Lord bless Rick Wolfer. Not only for snoring just then. All right. Oh, was it another culprit? All right. I thought I knew the snores in this church. I thought I could tell him with my back turned. I also want to thank Rick for the help he's given in producing some overheads for me this morning. Last week, we had a fairly intensive barracks talk time, and I warned you that we were going to do the same this morning. So if you're here in church, that's your fault. I gave you plenty of warning. And I just want to finish off the comments from last week. If you're a visitor, welcome. It is a time of barracks talk. We're just talking as a family here this morning about some little navigational adjustments that we want to make. And just to get those of you who were here last week, and maybe some of you who weren't, back in the flow of what I was talking about, I'm just going to throw up without comment the headlines of what we covered. If you remember, first of all, we just went through a summary of some of the work that you as a congregation did at our last retreat in evaluating various areas of church life, and you'd noted several strengths that you want and believe the Lord wants us to confirm: fellowship, our commitment to teaching, to the missions that the Lord has entrusted us with. By the way, I serve as a member of the Ministry of Jesus board. Jack Odell does as well. We were in an 8-hour board meeting with Tom and Joan all day yesterday, and it's just so exciting what the Lord is doing in West Africa. In fact, the Lord is moving so powerfully, and I want to encourage you this morning that see, the Lord has entrusted us as a small church to be the most significant support for this work. The work is multiplying so fast beyond where the roads end in Togo that the responsable, the elders, and the zone pastors are too nervous to tell the leaders of the mission how many churches are actually out there. And because they're so inaccessible, people can't go out to find out what's going on. But at modest assessments, there are probably 180 to 200 churches out there that have been planted in the villages over the last 2 years. Now, here's a word for prayer. Something we were talking about yesterday that's going to affect the strategy for the mission. When the Lord led us to get involved with Togo and different nations the Lord has got us involved with as a church, including Chile, we have found ourselves as a church involved with nations that are living through a strategic period of grace in their national life. Chile, the doors could shut at any moment on the indigenous revival movement, and that is why as a church we are committed to give generously to those places in the world where they are training pastors to look after sheep. Because what happens is governments will maintain an appearance of religious freedom, but they will say they will not allow anybody in the church who doesn't have a degree or some kind of certification. So there's a great deal of theological and pastoral training going on, and that is the whole purpose behind what's happening in Chile. And in Togo, a decree has just been made. The Muslim advisors have got very close to basically the gangster leader of that nation. It's like living in gangland. And a decree has gone out in the last few days banning all meetings in homes. Now, I say this as a preface to what we're talking about as a church in living house to house. Let me tell you something. I think the work of the enemy is more concerned to shut down what happens in homes than to shut down what happens in some of our public church buildings. They have just declared that Islam is official. For some reason, the Presbyterians are official, which is great because that means there is one evangelical, nonconformist denomination there. The Catholic Church is still official, and everything else is declared as a sect. So that means our missioners, Matt Murdoch, Cynthia Daniel, who you heard at the beginning of the service, the work that we're supporting, John Codger, who you know, the pastors that God has been raising up, have overnight become illegal. I was sharing at the board meeting yesterday, and I didn't mean to get into this morning, but this is Barracks talk, so let's get up to date. 5 years ago, I went to teach a pastor's seminar in Dapong in the north of Togo. I felt very ill-equipped for it. Tremendous things happening there. I went in, and as I walked into the door of the building we were using, which was right next to the mosque in Dapong, right in the heart of a real battle zone. I found myself starting to weep uncontrollably. And when I got back to my room with a brother, a black pastor of mine, we were just completely cut up. And I'll tell you the reason. Because the Lord spoke to me as I went through that door. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, teach gently. Teach firmly. Because you are teaching martyrs. I want to tell you something. You lose a lot of messages overnight when the Lord says that to you. And we were sharing yesterday at this meeting, and there was a pastor next to me, a wonderful pastor, local pastor, and he has just got back from Togo, and his mouth dropped. He just got back from a teaching week in Dapong. He said the Lord spoke exactly the same word to me as I walked through the door to teach those pastors. And I mention that, you know, because when we are getting involved, our missions, dear ones, you know, and we sit around in the Western world arguing whether we're post-trib, pre-trib, pan-trib, and all the rest of it. It's a Western civilization theological luxury. Because 80% of the world, you talk to them, they're living in tribulation before Jesus comes. And I say that to provoke your prayers, and it'll make sense of something I'm going to share with you in a minute, if I get to it. Pray for Togo. Now, we have a trust for this work. I want to tell you some good news. Matt Murdoch, as you know, one of our own, dear Matt, has been led of the Lord to go into Benin. Matt is now pioneering a brand new work in northern Benin. Benin is much more militant in terms of Muslim militants, and he is rooting there, and he's one of our own. And I said to Matt, just send us a budget. What is it going to take to get this work rooted in this window of opportunity? By the way, Isifu, the evangelist, I think I've already told you, has already planted 16 churches before Matt arrived. They've already had their first training session for the elders of these village churches. They're already getting ready to buy their horses to ride around these places where vehicles can't get. The fire is in the bush. Fire of God's in the bush. And Matt sent me his annual maintenance budget and his one-time needs and said, oh, Lord. And you know, that very week, the Lord spoke to somebody to give a gift, undesignated, for what would be a major area of need. And do you know what? That gift covered the entire budget for the first year of Matt's operation in Benin. Isn't that great? Isn't the Lord good? So I tell you that to encourage you that the Lord knows. And that tells us that the Lord thinks very seriously about that work in Benin. We don't need to sit around on our hands wondering, you know, how many years we've got to, you know, to pray about it. How many are ready for another offering? All right, no, maybe not. Okay. Chile. Just to give you some good news, the Lord again supplied. Lord spoke to someone in the church and a donation was made. We were able to send nearly $12,000 to the work in Chile this week. So I'm so thrilled, you know, that apart from all the other giving that's going on and our commitment to missions, we've been able to disperse another $20,000 this year to two strategic places that are under the gun, and we need more. We need more. And when you get the big picture of what's happening in the world, it kind of gives you a different view of your own stuff, doesn't it? Anyway, can we pray right now? Lord, well, why don't you pray? You pray. Get with the person next to you. One of you pray for Togo, one of you pray for Chile right now. As the Lord leads you to pray. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. We've sought you to lead us in our engagement with this world. I thank you for the sovereign way that you've led us. Lord, we would never have found Togo. If you paid us, we'd never have found it. Thank you for partnering us with your work in this nation. Thank you for partnering us with the revival movement in Chile. Thank you, Lord, for linking us with the Philippines. Lord, I thank you for what's happening, the domino effect out of Togo. Thank you for the work that's going to be going into northern Ghana. Thank you for the work that's springboarding into Benin. I thank you, Lord, for what's happening out of Chile. I thank you, Lord, for Hilario Garate and Christ our Shepherd there in Santiago. Thank you, Lord, for that pastors' conference that's there, the opening of that church with these pastors. And thank you, Lord, that out of that church you're already sending a wave of missionaries all around South America. Lord, just keep us obedient to what you ask us to do. We'll leave the fruit to you, Lord. We can afford, Lord, to wait to heaven to see what happened as a result of our obedience, but we want to be obedient. Thank you for putting Bhutan on our hearts and Nepal and Tibet. Thank you for putting the nation of France on our hearts, Lord. And we just lift these nations up, one nation on every continent. And we ask, Lord, for a continuing breakthrough of the Holy Spirit, that where the ground has been hard through the centuries, that your rain will fall and make it fertile, that we will be the recipients, Lord, of your word and your work in these nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Keep praying. Just focus. Keep Togo in your prayers this week. And Matt Murdoch and Cynthia Daniel and Tom and Joan and Greg Yari and the guys there. Anyway, as I was saying, how did I get on? Missions. Wow, missions, yes. And we looked at other things. I'll speed on. You know, you talked about the necessary freedom in church life to be who you are and become what you want to be, the necessity for theological balance and stability and a reasonably stable leadership and home groups and worship. We talked openly about the stresses caused on our life by geographic spread and by metro lifestyle pace. And by the stresses we deal with in not having our own facility. We identified some of the weaknesses we've been dealing with in areas of children's ministry and related to no building and insufficiently diverse racially, ethnically in our congregation for a church that wants to be rooted long-term in this city, for our communications, improving areas of communication and areas of training. And I began to suggest five necessary responses to where we are. The first one, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to mention the three main points that I articulated of necessary biblical vision last week. What were they? Three key words. Tell the person next to you. I'll give you Pharisee points if you can expand it. And I want every one of you to learn this off by heart. Especially the pastors. All righty, let's read together. In the best way that we can, to know God truly and experience Him intimately. To grow together closely as a reconciled community, I can't hear you, of men, women, and children in relationship with Jesus and each other. To show God's love to the world in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the works and words of Jesus, with a commitment and enthusiasm that will glorify God, strengthen the church, and encourage others to get to know Jesus too. Secondly, I spent some time going through a mission statement, in other words, the biblical means by which vision is realized in each of those areas. And we will be providing you with a full, nicely presented printout of all those things that I covered. And then thirdly, I restated what has been and will continue to be our commitment to basic structure of our church life. In other words, focusing on those relationships in our life that are the fundamental relationships of any disciple and which are the strategic context in which any visional work is developed. Number one, behind closed doors. Let's say together, I will take personal responsibility for my walk with God. Let's say it. I will take personal responsibility for my walk with God. I will not expect my home group leader to be responsible for my life. I will not expect my home group leader to be responsible for my life. I will not expect the elders to take responsibility for my life. I will not expect the elders to take responsibility for my life. I will not expect my children to take responsibility for my life. I will not expect my children to take responsibility of my life. And God bless the dogs and cats. All right. You know what the truth is, guys, and the Bible deals with this. The dogs and the cats and the birds and the animals of the field are fulfilling their creational purposes more than we are. You think about that sometime. That's why the prophets say, you know, the ox in his manger and the horse. They understand, they know, but you, my people, you haven't got a clue. You know what? That's not saying we've simply become animals. It's we've become less than animals in our failure to fulfill the calling of God on our life as humanity to please Him with all of our being. That's salutary, isn't it? That'll teach you not to say anything rude about a cat. Pastor. Why doesn't everyone think I don't like cats? All right, okay. Because I don't. All right, no, okay. No, I love cats. I love Bunny's cats. Behind her, where's Bunny? Is she here? Would you please tell Bunny I said that? She's in Sunday school. Everyone who sees Bunny, Odell, afterwards say, Stuart was just saying how much he loves your cats. Okay, all right. Number two, at home, the establishment and conduct of household family relationships and household affairs. Who's going to be taking responsibility for that? Say it. Us. Was. We. All right. House to house, the maintenance and maturity of fellowship and structure maturity and small group gatherings of believers in the neighborhood. Fourthly, first day of the week, coming together as a congregation to celebrate our salvation through worship, encouragement through testimony, edification through spiritual gifts, and to be exhorted through teaching and preaching. And that huge, wonderful area of our life, out and about. And what we are saying is that we are committed to preach and teach and encourage and work to those fundamental areas of our church life where we need to mature in the knowledge of Jesus and be effective in the works of God. Okay, let's catch up. Now, next thing we're doing with a vengeance is a reevaluation of all current leadership responsibilities and current ministries. Challenge to elders and deacons to reaffirm all biblical, would you please underline that word biblical, biblical demands and responsibilities. And that fundamentally for every one of us, regardless of an area of leadership, and for all of us as members of the church, it comes first to the biblical expectations of how we walk out our life and what is manifested in our character as we walk in the light. Secondly, the home group and all team lead ministry team leaders reaffirming their sense of calling and equipping and present effectiveness of ministry. And finally, oh, let me just add something there. Let's just make it hot for all the leaders. Every leader in any God-given position of responsibility within the church should examine their area of oversight as to the clarity of its goals, effectiveness of its organization and communication, and fruitfulness of its ministry. We need to test fruit. We are not committed to keep dead trees going. It may mean we need to repent of some things. We may need to discover why there's deadness. In home group this week, you will be in John's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus' key statement, if you want to be productive, you want to be fruitful, you want to be fulfilled in your life, that's the chapter to go to. And Jesus talks about different kinds of trees, sapless trees, different kinds of branches. Every leader is responsible to know and encourage all those under their oversight and ensure that all those participating in the ministry understand and are committed to the visions and goals of that outreach, whether it's Valley Green, whether it's a mercy ministry, whether it's an area of benevolence, whatever it happens to be. And finally, we are committed to a rearticulation right now in church life of the goals of every area of our ministry. Want to know what it's called? Want to know what it's for? Want to know who the leaders and facilitators are? Want to know what its purpose is? Want to know how these purposes are going to be achieved? What's expected of us? How does it implement church vision and goals? Where will it meet?
When's Jesus coming again? Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. And we're going to be pushing each other and encouraging each other, as has already been happening in the home groups, to get real specific. We're not all going to be called to do the same things, but we need to know what it is specifically that God is calling us to do. And already in our church life, we have made a commitment in each of these areas of knowing God and growing together and showing Jesus to the world. We've already committed to some very significant functional goals. And from the beginning of the year, we have challenged you that every committed member of this church will commit to regular Bible study. We are not your teaching machine. We have a responsibility to teach the Word week in, week out, but we're not the only teachers in the church. We need to get beyond skimmed milk. We need to get beyond the kind of, you know, grab Psalm 23, open the Bible, verse for the day, read Psalm 23 again on Wednesday, grab another verse for the day, maybe read the Lord's Prayer Thursday, grab another verse for the day. We need to move beyond that, a commitment to Bible study. Secondly, every member, we've encouraged a functional goal in knowing God, commit to read through the Bible. If the Bible is a demonstration of the character of our God, you need every bit of it, Genesis to Revelation. I will be starting the Joseph series again next week, getting into the last phase of our series through Genesis, and I hope you've discovered in going through Genesis, it sets on display who God is, doesn't it? It's all about who God is. That every member make prayer a personal priority. You will be receiving, I want to thank Jane Reeves and those who've been committed to the ministry of intercession, you'll be receiving just a very encouraging little tool that'll help you pray through the week for this church and for each other and for the work of God that we are engaged in. And also, functional goal, we've been teaching to it, develop the devotion of fasting. If you feel like that's a reasonable functional goal, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say, I eat too much. I eat too much. All right, okay. Every member committed to involvement in house to house in our home group, because it'll be frustrating to be involved in COSC without that engagement. Other functional goals that we're committed to in seeking the knowledge of God, we're absolutely committed to develop the explaining series on a Sunday morning. It has been so thrilling to walk into that room and see it packed and 60 people in there eager to learn. I hope we grow out of that room real fast. I hope we have to open the sanctuary up at 9:30 on Sunday morning, because people have a hunger for the Word of God and a heart to study and apply their mind to the things of God. Be there next week, explaining guidance, Tom doing the second part. Be there the week after that, I'll be dealing with explaining how to interpret the Bible. Be there the week after that, we're going to be explaining how to meditate on Scripture. Be there the week after that. All right, okay. Complete development of a unit that we're developing and want to develop for the children, or what we believe unit, for K through 6. Encouraging them in the enjoyable, mischievous, fun knowledge of God. Encouraging, we want to make a commitment. This is a big, big issue for us. Encourage and strengthen family spirituality. Developing resources for parents and helping them to landscape in the home what is being taught in church and in Sunday school. It's long been a dream of ours to be able to make the links between what happens in our adult learning and how we landscape that to the kids. And it's difficult. And often we have to confess, as parents, you can get into this privatized spirituality and there's another kind of learning for the kids, but you're not making the links between what God's doing in your life and what needs to be landscaped in your family. And we need to help each other with that. And the problem is there just aren't many resources out there to do that, which means we're going to have to work together and trust God to raise up. We are blessed in this church with gifts of teaching and experience with children. And Rhea, the deaconess in charge of the Education Commission, has a full-time task ahead of her in the commitment to these functional goals. We swapped a two-page fax on Friday of just single items that the teachers and the Education Commission is committed to encourage the knowledge of God in families and amongst children. Are you still with me? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Another functional goal in getting to know God, worship. expanding and developing worship skills. One great, great thing that's happened is the steps we've taken to develop and encourage the worship life of the home groups. With worship leaders in all the groups, John Kramer is coordinating and heading that up and overseeing that. Very, very exciting. So many of these are already well in progress. Little practical things like developing in our public worship, introducing the Psalms into our worship life. You know, the Psalms is the praise manual of the Bible. The Psalms aren't just for Episcopalians and Catholics. It's for everybody. Nonconformists are very immature and lax. Charismatics tend to be ignorant about the Psalms that deals with the stuff and reality of life. Sorry, I don't mean to get excited. Incorporate other expressions of worship, including liturgical, because we're committed to liturgy, as you know, as a church. We use it. The New Testament is full of liturgy. And gospel, we need to expand our horizons. We need to develop our worship skills. Steve has already invited some other worship teams to come and be part of our Sunday worship to teach us and stretch us in our understanding of worship and in our ability to be skilled in praising God. And that's encouraging. If you think that's encouraging, say amen. Amen. Some functional goals about growing together. I'm not a numbers man, as you know. I'm an appalling numbers man. But get some functional goals. Hey, let's start praying. Trust God to give us 50 new members this year, the majority being new Christians. Why not? Let's pray to it. Let's run our home groups to it. Let's invite people to our home groups to it. If everyone in this church made a commitment that invite one non-Christian friend to the home group, I think you'd be amazed. Stop tripping over yourself, worrying what they'll think about it. Best time they'll have had all week. You want a party? Come to home group. Emphasize and develop home groups. We're committed. Our goal is to add at least 10 more home groups this year. Ideally, we'd like to add 14 in that each group multiplies itself once. But we're making a commitment to add at least 10 new ones. And within 3 weeks, we're already talking about 3 new ones. There's a potential of a new one in Anacostia, a new one in Tacoma Park, and there is a third one just a little further down 66, Centerville. Other growing together goals. This one is happening this weekend, using the men's retreat to launch and establish a new ministry amongst men. Guys, if you're not on that list to be there, I'm really, you know, you've obviously got something very, very important to go to, but it's, where's Alan Davenport? Alan, is it too late for a guy to register? All right. Okay, but you can come during the day, okay? So if you haven't signed up, please be there. It's going to be a great time of engagement. Men talking about intimacy with Jesus. How does that sound? Men talking to men. I mean, that's a miracle, isn't it? I mean, okay. You know something? I went on Valentine's night. One of my daughters, Krista, goes to the Pioneer Group at Cherrydale Baptist every week, and they have one of these father-daughter Valentine deals. Now, hear me out. I've got to make a confession. When I came from England to this country, I was just, I was amazed at the activities that went on in American churches. You know, they had banquets. Mother-daughter banquets, mother-cat banquets, mother-everything banquets, you know. Mother of all cats. I've got cats on the brain today. Banquets. And, you know, the father, that's sweet, you know, the father-daughter. I've been to one of these before. And, you know, you always, guy, I mean, look, you feel like a lemon. Let me just tell it how it is. You know, you walk in and all the balloons are up. But it's amazing when you get guys together. Here we are at a father-daughter Valentine banquet, and I'm going to another church. And we sit in there, and guys sit down, and nobody talks to anybody. It is amazing. Now, of course, ladies, if you were all there, man, you'd have already swapped your cake recipes for Valentine's Day, you know. And the thing we had to do was decorate a cake. We had to take a cake. The humbling of the pastorate. Oh, it's bad. And anyway, Krista and I did a great job. You know, we couldn't even talk about our cakes. You know, we couldn't even admit that we didn't bake it. Wife baked it, you know. And we brought it along. And to try and break through, I eventually managed to break through in conversation and found myself talking to somebody that was very, very, had a very, very avid view on tribulation. And I'm going, what is it with us guys? Anyway, men, be there. Great things happening this weekend that I hope will impact families and our church life and our worship and everything else. Okay. We are committed, and this is already happening, establishing new arrangements for eldership oversight of home groups, and I'm going to say a bit about this in about 2 minutes, and strengthen and develop relationships between elders, deacons, and home group leaders. That is already happening. Trust God for a new and secure, accessible facility east of Rock Creek Park. Functional goals. Be quiet, Jerry. Functional goals. Looking forward to that $100,000 check Jerry's going to write at the end of the service. Okay. Showing Jesus. We are committed to place the emphasis on people being the ones who are ministering rather than being ministered to. Commitment to missions in showing Jesus. Local, focus, focus, focus on what God has already put to hand, the establishment of the Valley Green Ministry and team, and a development of a new relationship with David Hines, who will be here ministering on March the 3rd at our family communion, a new ministry in relationship with David Hines, supporting him as a church. We're already supporting David and the outreach to the homeless at 3rd Street. God is doing new things, tremendous, exciting things there. Missions International, focus, focus, focus on what God has already given us. The productive, the very fruitful projects in Chile, Togo, and Benin. We've committed to the functional goal of seeing a completely new organization of the Missions Commission. That has already been accomplished. And again, I'll mention that to you in a moment. It's already happening in your home groups. Establishing a network of mission support in all local home groups. That's happened. Completing the development of a unit we're doing for children. We're really committed to take on the task of doing our own curriculum of a world studies unit. We want our kids to know about this world from God's point of view. And the backbones of that World Studies unit will be the target nations that we're involved with in every continent. And the range of the five or six nations we're involved with gives a tremendous, broad presentation, both culturally and religiously and spiritually. And the other thing we want our kids to know is that how the church looks is different in different places in the world. I want kids at COSC to know this isn't the only way God operates. You know, I want them to know that church under a mango tree is great, great fun. By the way, that's what's happening in Togo. You know, the church is going to meet under the mango tree. But don't you know there'll be an edict that'll cut down all mango trees? Unbelievable. Develop a new mercy ministries team. I think the Lord's going to be encouraging us to develop more areas of mercy in our involvement and engagement with the city. And I'm very thankful for the many of you in this church who have a tremendous heart of mercy. What's the bottom line, dear ones? The bottom line is what we've always said at COSC. It's not about being members of a church. The Bible says it's about being members of one another. Let's say that. I want to be a member of another. I want to be a member of one another. It's not simply about being a member of a church. And the other thing that we're always saying is this, that if you're going to be a church in the community, you need to function spiritually as a church in community. Otherwise, all you've got is programs. You're not giving away who you are and your life. And if you remember last week, I said that what we're committed to right now in the emphasis that we're taking in all the home groups is that if as a church we believe biblically and preach it, that there is every member ministry in the church, then we better practice it or we're going to become a castaway according to our own teaching. And that's where we ended the service last time. I think I was talking to you about this commitment to the priesthood of all believers. Your pastors are not going to become your priests. You hit points in church life where, you know, things are functioning and all the rest of it. And what we do is what always happens in church history. Bring back the priest. There's only one priest, high priest. Who's that? It's Jesus. Jesus has taken care of the priesthood functions. What do? We bring back the temple. We bring back the building and the church and the structure and all the rest of it. Now, I'm not anti-structure, you know. I'm for all godly administration of life. It's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. We need it. But we bring back the temple. What's our understanding of the temple? It's all about Jesus. Sacrifices. We bring back sacrifices. The good, the works and the performance and all the rest of it. There is only one sacrifice. Who's the sacrifice? Jesus. So this means it is all about Jesus, being a member of his body. Now take your Bibles. I'm not going to preach. Don't worry. I'm just reading a verse. Don't get nervous. I'm nearly through. But, I mean, just read it. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans 12, 4 to 6. Just as each of us has one body, aren't you thankful for that? With many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member, oh, this phrase, belongs to all the other. You're not doing us a favor by getting involved in the team with us. We belong to one another. We don't have ownership of ourselves. We have a responsibility to the way we fulfill who we are in relation to somebody else. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Look at verse 3. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Isn't that freeing? We're not all the same, and we're all at different stages, but there is a measure of faith given to us in different ways, which means that if we're going to have a right view of the church, if we're going to have a right view of Christ our shepherd, we need a right view of ourselves biblically, and we need a right view of others. Premised on a right view of who Jesus is. Priest, sacrifice, everything that we need. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. Let's see it in black and white. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And you say, Stuart, I know all this. This is Christianity 101. You know, we've done it in newcomers classes. We've taught it in Ephesians. Hey, but this doesn't get any deeper. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in how many? In who? In all people. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. To who? To each one. Who does that include? I guess that's me. I guess that's you. It's given for what? The common good. In other words, the common good of this fellowship is affected if we're not all functioning as an each one member. There aren't a group of any number of gifted people that can make it happen. Thank God for that. Just can't happen without each one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Thank you for turning to it. It's much better you see it in black and white. This isn't a cheerleader rah-rah call. This is about obedience. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And don't forget the price he paid to apportion it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up. Do the pastors build the church up? We have an edifying responsibility, but who builds the church up? The church makes increase of itself in love as how? Say it. As each part does its work. So God's call is to all people. In the area of worship in 1 Corinthians 14, we read, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction. Now clearly, when we gather on Sunday, you know, not everyone practically can have a word of instruction or a hymn, etc., etc. That's why it's important for the church to manifest itself in different ways and different forms so that that can happen. You should have an expectation when you go to home group with a sense of preparedness that God is going to flash forth through you in a word of wisdom, in a contribution to the study, in a prayer, in worship, in a manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. How exciting. Doesn't that make going to meetings exciting? The attitude should be, where's God coming from next? Whoa! Me? either. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. And on and on and on. But if as a church we are saying we believe these verses and that ministry is not status for a few, but service for everybody, and if we are saying that it is every member ministry, if we are saying the church is not built on platforms and pulpits and podiums, if we believe what Paul says to the Philippians, that we're to do nothing out of selfishness and conceit, but in humility, count others better than ourselves, if we are to have this mind among ourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant, then we've got to be practical and we've got to say what most effectively enables people to minister in this way. And let me just close by letting you know a navigational adjustment that we are making in our home groups on the basis of these scriptures. Christ our Shepherd has always, always been a home group, small group church from the very, very beginning, and we've always acknowledged that life, the house-to-house life of our church, goes hand in hand with us coming together publicly on Sunday. First thing we've done is we've divided the area into four functional and practical zones. Zone one, Virginia North. Over each of four areas is an overseeing elder, and we're putting our focus on the pastoral ministry in these zones. There is no one man or two man that can pastor in depth 200, 300 people. It just doesn't work. We have responsibilities for the whole, and as I've said in private groups, and I'm unashamed to say publicly, I'd be very happy if 90% of my pastoral time was spent in homes with people around the Word. And we need to be functional about how we grow and how we function in a city, in our neighborhoods, house to house. Now, just there may be some people here. I'm going to ask Steve to stand. Steve? Okay, Steve Paterno, Steve and Kim, can you stand? With Justin, and Justin's middle name is? Stuart, I love that name. This kid is destined. All right, okay. Thanks, Stephen. Steve and Kim, overseeing the home groups in Arlington, Alexandria, Mount Vernon, Falls Church, and Clinton. We include Clinton because it's, although it's in Maryland, it actually links much more easily with that area. Next area, Zone 2, Virginia West, overseeing elder Larry Grafton. Larry and Marianne, if you could stand up. Thank you. Let me go back to Virginia. Would all the home group leaders of Virginia stand up? That zone, Virginia North. Could you all stand up? Okay, wonderful. Thank you. The home group leaders, Alan, where's Alan? Alan Davenport and Sammy. Is Sammy there? Bless you. Our home group leaders out there. Zone 3, under the leadership of Paul Yates, the groups in Chevy Chase, Bowie, Germantown, and as far out as Olney. Paul, is Paul there? Paul and Les? Paul stands up. There's Paul. And home group leaders, please, in that area, if you could stand up, just identify yourselves. There's our home group, Zach and Sarah and George and Sandra, and we've got two lots missing. Great. Thank you. And Zone 4, which is Jim Amendola and Kathy, Jim. Jim there, Jim and Kathy. And groups, in fact, there's some to be added. There's two in Capitol Hill North and South, the group in Van Ness, and the group in Northwest D.C. Thank you. Would those home group leaders stand up? Great. Steve and Matt, Mark and Ann. Wonderful. It's so exciting what the Lord's doing in D.C., isn't it? Yeah, really exciting. And what we're proposing is the following. We're getting a little firmer now. We're moving beyond suggestion and just short of command. Alrighty. Don't quote me on that. The following is proposed. But where possible, numbers permitting, I mean, there's only two people in your small group. You're going to be a very funny one-man band. But hopefully that'll encourage you to go out and get some more people. Highways and byways and compel them to come in, including the dogs and cats. All right. Where possible, every small group makes its goal to have appropriate and a hospitable place to meet. Some places are more practically hospitable than others. You know, if you live in a bedsit, it's very hard to have 20 people sitting on your bed in a bedsit, and it's probably not appropriate, okay? Clear pastoral teaching leadership and a worship leader. And that where possible, and this is the major shift that we're making to encourage every member ministry, that where possible, every group appoints someone to take special responsibility for the following areas: practical helps and needs of the group, missions, information, and prayer. All the mission guys had their first meeting Saturday gathering. I got a great feedback report of it. Every home group has designated areas of responsibility in our mission. You are tasked and you have a provocateur. Here's what I want. I want an agent for everything that matters in our church life in every home group. I want a subversive agent for the main things that are important to us. We're not interested as deacons and elders in managing paper. We're not called to manage paper. We want to encourage and lead people. Amen? How many know paper's easier to manage than people? All righty, that's why we choose it. All right. Men's, women's, singles outreaches, evangelistic endeavors, and children's ministry. I want someone in your group to know more about what's happening amongst the kids of this church than anybody else. And you don't have to be a parent. So if it's a group of 15 singles, guess what? I want someone in there who knows more about kids. You know why? Because actually your ministry in this church to our kids is probably a backbone of our ministry. And I want to honor you and respect you for it. And you serve as an incredible example. And my kids are among the chief beneficiaries of your lives. We want the things that matter to be prayed about, talked about, and problem solved at that level of church life. So here's what we're saying, guys. Home group is to be appreciated as the starting place in church life for most problem solving. If a problem arises, the home group has many ways of responding. An individual can inform the leader or group, seek counsel and prayer. If further attention and help is required, hey, the leader can check in with the elder, get some counsel. Let's get the wisdom of many counselors involved. You know, you haven't even called the church office yet. Now, some of you are thinking, Tom and Stuart are obviously going to Hawaii 9 months of the year. Well, who knows where Tom and Stuart are going, quite frankly. What? Where are you going, Tom? Tom says he's going crazy. Well, okay. All righty. Tom's got a single ticket to La La Land, but I bought a return. We can encourage one another to speak to people directly. Do you know one of our main ministries in the body? I like connecting people with people in the body who can help people. I'm not always the guy who's got the best word for somebody. I've given you illustrations of this before in every area of church life. Healing? Get the person who's been healed of that to pray for that person. Get them there. I tell you, there's an exercise of faith operating there. You don't spend the first 10 minutes of prayer thinking, can God do it? The person praying for you saying, God can do it. Guess why? I'm here, alive and well, with some amazing miracles in this church. Amazing miracles of healing. Start giving it away. Or appropriate source of counsel outside the group. And still you're saying, what are Tom and Stuart doing? Hey, if it's a practical matter, let me give you an example. If it's a matter of benevolence or practical need, let's problem solve that amongst friends at the lowest common denominator. Let's pool our resources and wisdom if appropriate. Now, look, you know what? So often in our life where things start to unravel in areas of unemployment and stuff, those are major issues in our life. It affects our parenting. It affects marriages. It affects the whole fabric and structure of our life. This isn't about simply getting money to somebody. So we need to team and help one another. Maybe we need to alert one of the elders or the pastors and get them involved. The person in charge of practical helps can contact the deacon. It doesn't take a secretary in the office to do that. Let's operate along the lines of relationship where gift gets to gift. If it's a serious matter that requires further attention, then we're committed to pursue it and care for one another. Whether it's a practical matter or a spiritual matter that involves all the deacons getting together or all the elders getting together or the elders and deacons getting together or the whole church getting together or going to the White House to see the president. Who knows? Lord, may we resolve it before we get that far. Okay. A fundamental concern is that we do not unthinkingly allow the office to become the holy of holies and the center of all church operation. And that we do not turn the pastors into Old Testament priests. And unwittingly end up with an institutionalization that is counter to the intimacy that we seek and a professional clergy that is counter to the serving pastorate that we espouse. Yes, there are legitimate needs for central administration of some aspects of corporate life, but we need to discern what is not legitimate for the office or the pastors or even you to handle as the first port of call. If you believe that's reasonable, say, I think that's maybe reasonable. All right. I don't want you committed. Last thing I want in the world is a committed church. Okay. Such discernment is not only fundamental to our financial stewardship, it's fundamental to our theology of church life. We are at a crucial point in church life where there can come a tension between structural needs and spiritual vitality. And this tension has always been present in churches, in their history, and in church history. We at Christ Our Shepherd, and I speak for the elders of COSC, and the deacons, and the home group leaders, and the pastoral team leaders, are committed to maintaining a healthy balance between necessary and appropriate pastoral leadership and the necessary priesthood of all believers. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, guys, I can't tell you, like I said last week, all the consequences of that. When you say what will happen to Stuart, who knows what will happen to Stuart? Who knows how leadership can look in a year's time or 2 years' time? We may have half a dozen people half-time supported by the church or third-time supported by the church. I don't know, but we'll deal with that as we come to it. But I feel committed to be involved and to be involved in pastoring a bunch of sheep that if the wolves come and the fold is destroyed, we know how to huddle in threes or fours in every nook and cranny around here. And I think, I'm not an alarmist. I hate conspiracy theories in the evangelical world. But I tell you, we need to get smart and need to get wise. And the invasion of the church by government legislation, I'm telling you, it is a pain. The loops that we are having to jump through and the hoops we're having to jump through right now are unbelievable.
I'm becoming a compliance officer.
Yeah, a compliance officer. That's what we become. We become compliance officers. And I'm at a point in my life where I feel so rabid about our need to just be the church, regardless of how people think we look. We might not look like what people expect a normal church to look like. I don't know. That's fun. But if they want us, let them come and get us. That's why I'm not fussed if tax deductible disappears for our giving.
Amen.
Let it go. Let everything go that makes demands of us that are extra biblical. Don't go out and say, you know, Stuart's going to get arrested for preaching rabid anti-government revolution. I want to be the best citizen that I can be in living in the United States. I want to honor the leadership of this nation and pray for it. And fulfill every biblical command. But let's get with it and find out how Scripture coordinates the shape of our life and not just our own predilection to institution. Amen? I close with this. John's Gospel is an absolute goldmine for Jesus' teaching on this. Everything I've said sounds like a kind of management report, but it's all based on John's Gospel. Our visionary statement is John Gospel chapter 15. Three relationships Jesus says matter. Relationship to me, relationship to others, relationship to the world, end of vision. This is vision, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's it. End of story. And at the end of John's Gospel, there's that fascinating little moment where Peter is challenged by Jesus. And Jesus is trying to get Peter's eye. And Peter is your classic barroom brawler. Peter's the man's man. Peter is the man that I never was, all right? He's the big... And Jesus is Peter, and he's trying to get his eye. Do you love me? At a key strategic point in the history of the church, these guys knew all about organization and institution, at a key point of the church, do you love me? And we get those wonderfully delicious commands of the Lord Jesus about feeding sheep and feeding lambs. We basically get in a nutshell, here's what it's about. It's about following me and it's about feeding the sheep. And Jesus has to break through Peter's barriers to intimacy. That's how John's Gospel ends. A breakthrough in the life of Peter into intimacy. And it's like Jesus saying, look me in the eye, Peter. You know, oh, shucks. You know, it's a typical male thing. You know, sure, you know I love you. Oh, how embarrassing. And Jesus sweetly says, hey, Pete, my boy, Pete, my friend, Do you love me? Look me in the eye, friend. Look me in the eye. Do you love me?
Yes, Lord.
You know, deep bass. Do you love me? And the word of the Lord to us, afresh in our church life, is a sweet word that's first about our love for Him and the working that out in our relationship with the sheep. That breaks our residual barriers of intimacy. And if you've never been to home group or been involved in close relationship, don't worry, you're not the first one. It's a pain for many to begin with. But take the step of obedience and you'll love it. You'll love it. And we won't be cast away by our teaching, with a few people doing the work and preaching in every member ministry, but not living it. And I think our church needs an every member ministry, don't you? And let the gifts loose. Let them loose. The Last Supper. I want church to be one long Last Supper. Hearing the word and being with Jesus and washing feet and just messing around. Hearing the word, asking questions, praying prayers, offering praise with Jesus. Amen? Amen. You still alive? Some of you look like you're sleeping. That's fine. It's the sleep of life. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the way you've arranged things. We acknowledge, Lord, that it's not about Christ our Shepherd Church, it's about the body of Jesus. And we thank you for all your members, Lord. I thank you for the person to our left and the person to our right. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for putting us in this wonderful operation of yours, the Church of Jesus. Give us a love for her, Lord. Give us a wonderful love for her as we love you. Give us a right attitude to the church because we have a right attitude to ourselves and to the other people around us. Lord, will you develop our friendships? Develop our intimacy with you and with one another? Let us, Lord, be an every member working church. Help each of us to make adjustments that we need to make in this process to become something else for you, to make changes, to let things go, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, to encourage one another. I pray, Lord, that you will reproduce and raise up by your Spirit wave after wave of teachers in this church and pastors. Help us to get more skilled in giving our life away. And we pray for every home group in every area. And we ask that you'll make these homes and these neighborhoods wells of salvation. And we also dare to pray this morning, Lord, that you will help us as you give us dreams and visions for things you're now asking us to do in the life of this city. Lord, will you do... I want you to do two things for us, Lord, including me. I want, Lord, will you deepen miraculously our relationships and our love and concern and engagement with our friends who don't know you? And will you make our relationships with our other brothers and sisters from other folds and other churches more fertile in this year than in any other year we've known in our Christian life? Bring us into contact with believers left, right, and center to find out what you're doing and to be taught your ways and to share the great things of God. Stir us up, Lord, that we may be stirred, and we'll trust the ordering of your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening so well, for me talking so quickly.